citizens joined in. Regional accents were much stronger, suspicion of foreigners much more intense. As George Orwell noted later, Chinamen were sinister and funny too, Africans simple-minded, Indians loyal, or alternatively treacherous. There was music everywhere, but it was live and not recorded, tinkling out of pubs, or being lustily sung in the open air. Yet the air of the cities, at least, was rarely open. Thick palls hung over industrial Yorkshire, the Clyde and London. When the 1906 Liberal government won its landslide victory and the new cabinet ministers were summoned to see the king, they couldn't find their way back from Buckingham Palace in the fog and had to feel past rows of horses with their hands. Yet in so many other ways, Edwardian Britain confronts us with the shock of the entirely familiar. If you walk through most British town centres and look only in front, then, yes, the Edwardians have gone. The old specialist shops with tradesmen's bicycles outside and the freshly scrubbed steps have been replaced by large glass chain store frontages and a glut of metal. But raise your gaze by a few degrees and often you find they are still with us. There,